It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and Pastor Joe Thompson is our guest today. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Always good to be here.
Always great to have you, as I said in our prayer before we started.
Or as Sean Wilson likes to say, better to be seen than to be viewed.
I have to agree with that. However, when that does happen, then you're in glory land.
That's so true.
So there is a good side to that. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for your needs. We do record in two parts, and we put it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, after the program's over. So if you have someone that doesn't have Facebook, send them there, therockchristianmusic.com, have them click on the Hour of Power, and then go to Thursday to hear Pastor Joe's message. Our Facebook sponsor today is Spain Construction Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. I think maybe I've covered everything, possibly.
Very well.
Will you pray to start us out?
I will. Father, I just want to say thank you for this day that you have given us. We need to remember, Father, that every day is a good day when we begin it with you. So, Father, I just pray that for those who are listening today, that your word will speak whatever needs to be spoken to each individual who hears today's broadcast. I pray that you will do the work that needs to be done. And for those who have needs, Father, may they understand that they can share those needs with us, and we will lift them up along with many others. And Lord, that you are the God who hears and answers every need that we have as we lift it before you. So, Father, we give this hour into your hands, asking your blessings upon it, not for us, but for those who hear. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, your title today is what?
Test of Faith.
Test of Faith.
Yeah, test. Meaning plural. I'm a little nasally
tests.
This morning because
tests.
I'm been plugged up.
Been dealing with this sinus stuff like half the world.
Yeah, like I think 3/4 of the people in Elk City. Question is, you know, is it sinus? Is it COVID? Is it cold? Is it what? And so far I haven't been running a fever, so I think it's just sinuses. But anyway, we're talking about test with an S on the end, being plural, of faith. And, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we don't think that we should have problems. We shouldn't have these issues that come into our lives. But the truth of the matter is that we all have issues that come our way, and test is actually what those are. Sometimes there's temptations that come as well. We need to understand that. But God allows tests in our lives for various reasons. I want to start with a story. It kind of relates to this, but it is a little bit humorous. Young woman brings home her fiance to meet her parents, and after dinner, the mother goes in and tells her friends, or her father, to find out about this young man. So the father invites the fiance into the study and begins a conversation with him and says, so what are your plans? Well, I want to be a Bible scholar, the young man replies. A Bible scholar? The father says, admirable, but what will you do to provide a nice house and for my daughter to live in and provide for her as she's accustomed to? Young man replies, well, I'll study. I'll study hard, and God will provide for us. And how are you going to provide the beautiful engagement ring such as she deserves, the father asked. I will concentrate on my studies, young man replies. God will provide for us. And children, asked the father, how are you going to support any children? Don't worry, sir. God will supply, replies the fiancé. And so the conversation continues on and on, just like this, as go through the end. After the conversation's over, the husband goes back into the mom and says, and the mom asks, well, how did it go, honey? The father answers, well, he has no job, no plans, but the good news is he thinks I'm God and he will provide, and I will provide for him. And, you know, a lot of ways, that's what a lot of people think. They're going to rely on somebody else. But the truth of the matter is this is a humorous story, but the young man in this really did appear to have a faith, you know. Future father-in-law, well, he saw that faith as being really impractical. But when we consider the life of a person who is a Christ follower, Christian, we have a lot of people in the world that consider our faith as being impractical. You know, they look at it as saying, well, you know, God's going to provide, God's going to take care of you. No, in this world, you have to take care of yourself. And if you are a Christian, you're going to find that your faith is tested from time to time. And we don't like to be tested, you know. But test of faith can really help you understand how strong your faith is. And another thing to remember is that if God is allowing you to be tested, your faith to be tested, it means that he has bigger plans for you. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And the tests of faith are there to help move you into the very next level that God has for you. And so when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through a test of faith, don't let that test drag you down. Instead, learn to embrace the test. Learn to say, I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on, but I know that God has something bigger and better for us. And my wife and I, we've been through various ones of those in our lives. And I can sit here and tell you about different ones, but that would take the rest of the day and probably two or three more. But the truth of the matter is God has grown us through every one of those tests. And we see a lot of people in the Bible who have had tests of faith, but probably one of the first ones, not the first one who had a test of faith, but one of the first ones who had a test of faith was Abraham. And he was tested over and over again with his faith. If you remember, he left his homeland. He went to Haran with his dad. And then after he was there, God said, I've got a place for you down in Canaan. And so that was one of the first tests. The first test was just to leave home. The second one was to go to Canaan where God had called him. But his greatest test came whenever God called him to sacrifice Isaac. And that test sealed the promise that God had made to Abraham that he would be the spiritual ancestor to the Israelites and also to us. And so I want to read for us this morning out of Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for the burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Interesting here, what Abraham says, we will worship there, and we will come right back. So kind of shows you where Abraham's faith is. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied. Here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And so, as we look at this story with Abraham and Isaac and God calling him to take him for sacrifice, there's some lessons that we can learn from this incident that takes place that about testing our faith. I think the first thing that we see as we look at this passage of Scripture is that there was a purpose to the test. And God's purpose is ultimately, when you're tested, to grow you into the person that He intends you to be. We oftentimes get upset because we know, well, I'm content where I'm at. But God wants you to understand your level of commitment. We oftentimes think of a test as saying, well, you know, as God has tested us to understand our level of commitment. But God already knows how committed you are. Mm-hmm. But you do not know how committed you are. Abraham's test really was not for God, but it was for Abraham. God knew what Abraham's commitment was, but Abraham did not know the strength of his commitment. And so he calls Abraham and says, Abraham, I need you to do this. And we need to understand that testing helps us to understand the strength of our own commitment. It's kind of like a bodybuilder. You know, a bodybuilder, he never knows his strength until he tests his strength against the weights. Mm-hmm. You want to lift 100 pounds? Well, okay. Let's see if I can lift 100 pounds. Can't lift 100 pounds. Can I lift 90? I can lift 90. So I need to strengthen myself until I can. So I lift, try 95. I can barely lift 95, so I keep doing the reps until I can do 95. Can I do 100? I can barely lift 100. Now, I'm talking about a weakling like me, you know. Real bodybuilders, they lift 400 or 500, you know. So that's you're always measuring. You're always putting yourself against the test. And You never really understand your level of commitment until you can move forward from where you are at, your commitment where you're at. And in the testing, we see that God wants to reveal His faithfulness to us. And God's faithfulness is oftentimes discovered when He puts us in situations where we're going to fall flat on our face if He doesn't come through. I mean, that's what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Abraham knew that unless God intervened, he was going to kill Isaac, you know, to show his faith. And this test proved to Abraham that God keeps His promise. As a matter of fact, you go over into Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, it said that God took Abraham believing that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And in a sense, He did. That's what Hebrews tells us, you know. And so it proved to Abraham that God's going to keep His promises. And when we go through difficult times, we see how God delivers it. It is a strengthening of our faith, and it proves God's going to be there for us. It doesn't matter what happens. And so we see the truth about His faithfulness, but we also see the truth about our weaknesses, where we're weak, whether we doubt and what. It proves to us about how we're going to handle certain situations. You know, as Christ followers, as children of God, we are to continue to grow in our faith in the way that we handle situations. You know, a child gets upset when somebody takes their toy. That's the natural, that's the human, that's the worldly side reaction. But if you're still getting upset as an adult when somebody takes your toy, you've got a problem.
Better have a checkup from the neck up, from the heart up.
Yeah, because you haven't matured, and yet we see a lot of that happening in our world today. As a matter of fact, you go and you look at the courts of law and all the lawsuits that are going on, and I would say 90% of the time, it's because somebody stole somebody's toy. Mm-hmm. We don't call them toys. We call them their intellectual property and things of this nature. But, you know, that's what is going on. And so God is wanting you to grow in your faith through the test. And when you learn to trust God, then you also learn to obey him. And when you obey him, it's because you've learned to trust him, because you know that by following him, he is going to provide and meet your every need. But there's also a promise that comes through the test. And, you know, God's promises are true no matter what your perception is.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, I'm going to meet your need. I don't care how you view this. Trust me. My promise is true. And God promises that he's going to control the testing that we're in. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, but remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different than what others are experiencing. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you cannot stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. And God always puts a limitation on the trial. We don't know what we can endure, but God knows what we can endure. And he will never put more on us than what we can endure. And again, sometimes it's because God allows us to go through these things so we know what we can endure. We have to be careful, though. Sometimes we go through a trial and say, well, I get through that, made it through that. And then we have another trial, and we begin to trust ourselves instead of God because, this is similar to what I went through before. So a little caution I'll throw in there. But the thing is that God promises us his companionship when we are in the trials. And another scripture out of Hebrews 13:5 says that God says, I will never leave you or forsake us. And so that promise that he's never going to leave us or forsake us is one of the things that can hold us through the difficult times of life. And knowing that God is with us is one of the main things that can help us when we are in the midst of a trial. Joshua was facing the daunting task of conquering the land of Canaan, and he was wondering, how in the world can I do this? And God sends an angel and says, I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, Joshua 1:9. And so here's a promise even from the Old Testament that God is going to be with us, and he's also going to provide for us through the test. Abraham had to believe that God was going to provide the sacrifice. I think that's the reason why we see beforehand that he says to his servants, you guys wait right here. We'll be back. We will be back. He didn't say, I will be back. He says, we will be back. And so whatever the trial is, believe that God is going to provide. And our problem is that we oftentimes want God to provide for us beforehand. And sometimes I think God doesn't provide for us beforehand because he knows we would squander whatever it was that he provided for us beforehand. But I cannot tell you, I can tell you time after time after time in ministry of how God provided for us, you know, my wife and I and for me. And, you know, it was at the right time with what I needed. Mm-hmm. I won't share every instant, but one of the first times I can remember was when I was in college and I needed $50. I don't even remember what it was for, probably to pay my college bill. At the end of the month, we had set payments that they allowed us to pay out over the semester. And I was short. I needed $50. And so the day that I needed the $50, lo and behold, I go to the mailbox, and there is an envelope there with $50 in it. Hmm. You know, that's just the way that God works.
Right.
And like I said, sometimes I believe a lot of times God doesn't provide for us ahead of time just because he knows, hey, you're going to squander this if I do it beforehand.
Well, and then our faith wouldn't really be shown,
right,
if we got it ahead of time. We didn't need it. But when it comes in like that at the last minute, you know, God did it.
Yes, exactly. I
mean, I've shared on this show many, many times about how that very thing has happened in our life over the years, that we needed money that day.
Right.
And here would come a check in the mail.
And you know, God is good in that he promises that he's going to be with us through
right.
the test and to meet every need that we have. Now, there's a lot of times that we don't understand all there is about the test. There's some perplexity about the test, and we wonder, what is God trying to teach us? What do we need to learn through this? And one of the things that God used this test for is that he wants us to realize that he cannot fully use us until we're willing to let go of what we hold most dear. He cannot fully use us until we are willing to let go of what we hold most dear. And we have to come to the conclusion in our minds that God's way is best, even if we don't understand it, at least don't understand it at the time. And it's common for us to ask the why questions. Why now? God's now is always the perfect time. We just don't see it as being the perfect time. I mean, Abraham is an illustration. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. First of all, you know, he's an old guy. Shouldn't be having a boy, a kid anyway. He was the promised son. He had gone outside of God's will, you know, and had Ishmael earlier, but that wasn't the promised son. Isaac was the promised son. And yet, here God comes to Abraham and says, you need to go and you need to sacrifice your son. And I'm sure Abraham's sitting there and he's going, when he first hears this, are you sure? Are you sure? I mean, had Ishmael, you told me, no, that's not him. Had Isaac, you said, yes, this is him. And now you're telling me to go and to sacrifice him? And so Abraham had to go through a lot of thoughts and emotions as he plays this out. You know, we've already seen that in the end he follows through that, but imagine what's going on before He's going, really? And yet as Abraham looks back, I'm sure that he gains a very clear view of the why question that he probably had at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So he asks, why now? Then he goes, probably another question is why me? This would have been a logical conclusion for Abraham, and yet he goes through with it. You know, why did you choose me? Why am I being asked to sacrifice my son? Why? And oftentimes when we're faced with a task, we ask the why questions. And a lot of people say that, you know, we shouldn't ask God why. I see nothing wrong with asking God why. It's when we just continue to ask why and we don't ever allow God to do the work that we won't run into problems. But, you know, why did I lose my job? Why did I lose a loved one? If you don't ask why when some of those things happen to you, I would just say there's probably something wrong with you. Even the great people of faith ask why. They always trusted God, but we see that there were things that ran through their mind on that. Why did my tire go flat? Why is my world caving in around me? All these why questions. And we do ask why. But again, when you're asking why, always ask why in the realm of God is going to reveal the answer to me. I just don't know what it is yet. And that's something that's important for us. When we're going through a test, and we know we're going through a test, we go, well, why is it so hard? You know, that's probably one of the big questions I see. Why is this so hard for me? Because Abraham's facing the hardest thing he ever did. And people who have lost a loved one, especially someone that's close, why is this so hard for me? Well, it's hard because you loved them. It's hard because they're no longer with you. And Abraham might have thought God was picking on him, but God wasn't picking on him, but he was helping him to grow. And when you triumph over in the difficult things of life, then it's through those things that you can help others in their weaknesses. You can help them through the difficult things in life. The pastor I grew up under, he said, as a pastor, you cannot truly help people in a lot of things they are going through until you have experienced those yourself. And that's true. I lost my oldest brother. He was mentally what we today would call, you know, mentally deficient, but then we called it mentally retarded. He was in a home and he wandered away and he died of exposure to the elements, you know. Lost another brother in a plane crash. But in those things, I learned going through the hard things that I can empathize with other people. Not that I even have to share that fact with them, but I can understand what they are going through. Not having enough money to survive on. I've been in that position pretty much, you know, where it was just a God thing. I can empathize with those people. And so I can help them. As he said, you have to go through some of these things in order for you to be able to really understand where some of these people are going. And so if you've been on top of the world all the time, it's hard to understand where another person's coming from. And so, yes, it is hard. It's difficult. But you've been there, and you can really help them. And so these are some of the things that we need to look at when we're going through tests and difficulties. And, you know, whenever we bring in prayer requests, those are things where people are having difficulties. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reason why we lift prayer requests up. We may not always understand it, but we know that God does. Mm-hmm. And we've been there, and we've been through some of the tests, or we've been through having needs ourselves. And so with that, I want to turn it over to you, Diva.
All right. Well, we do have several prayer requests this morning.